It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Emily Campagno.
I'm Guy Benson.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, August 19th, 2022. I'm Evan Brown. Vladimir Putin gets the title of King Bad Guy in Russia's war and the rest of its geopolitical gambits, but he's never alone. His close circle is small, but they are powerful and influential.
These propagandists are very, very effective at their job. They're highly trained in disinformation.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. January 26th, 1988 was a cold and suspiciously quiet night at the Indianapolis Police Department, but the frigid night took a chilling turn with news of a triple homicide. This week, I'm joined by retired Sergeant Judd Green for a look back at this savage case. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and foxnewspodcast.com.
Vladimir Putin is conducting not only a military war against Ukraine, but also a public relations war, all while protecting his own self-interest. And he's doing it making use of an inner circle, a rogues gallery of advisors, oligarchs, media moguls, and former fellow KGB agents. And together they hold power, make policy, and perhaps most importantly for them, drive narratives.
These men, henchmen, as I call them, and a couple of occasional women.
Rebecca Koffler used to be an officer with the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency. She's now an author known for her book, Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. She has a new op-ed in the New York Post.
So we have the talking head, Dmitry Peskov. I'm sure you and your listeners know him. He's Putin's spokesperson, right? And he is the type of person, as you mentioned, most of these people are sinister, but this particular person is very unique, and because he epitomizes the Russian proverb that goes like this: you can piss into his eyes and he will say it's God's due. And what I mean by this is that he is so shameless in parroting Putin's lies that he can effectively, you know, as you know, they're calling the invasion of Ukraine, the so-called special operation to denazify and to demilitarize Ukraine. And so if you tell this person, you know, the sky is blue, he can say, well, no, the sky is red. Look at it. It's actually red, right? And the Russians believe that if you repeat something many, many times, that it actually becomes true. So that's
the concept of the big lie. If you say it over and over again, it becomes the truth, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just like some of the folks in our own society, you know, the famous collusion hoax, they kept repeating it for 4 years, you know, hoping that it will become true. And amazingly, some people still believe it's true, but it has been debunked many times. And so that's kind of like the same approach. And we have a few more of these. There are two women. One of them I call the saucy spokeswoman, who is Maria Zakharova. I'm certain your listeners know about her too. She is the Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, and she is very, very colorful. If your listeners go on YouTube and search on Maria Zakharova strawberries, they will find these incredible, bizarre video of this lady fondling two strawberries for about 3 minutes to the tune of a very popular Russian song, Kalinka, performed by the Red Army Choir. It is incredible. It is
it's a patriotic song, right? It's not like a pop song. It's a patriotic song.
Evan. And that's where like the contrast comes in. So she's eating these strawberries. She's like, you know, sucking on them with her, you know, mouth and tongue, and like very, very suggestive. And you got to understand that this lady, although she's actually a Russian government official, she is, a part seductress and part warrior. Like by day, she's delivering, you know, these very serious briefings. Again, also lying, you know, talking about the special operation in Ukraine and basically presenting the Russian worldview. But then by night, she is tweeting up a storm, you know, of her pictures of herself in strapless dresses, you know, with red lipstick, and also like in all sorts of suggestive positions. So that's another character. So we have a whole, you know, bunch of them, and you ask how they end up. Again, like he selects them, most of them himself. You know, for example, we have Patrushev here. Patrushev is the heir apparent, right? He's the head of Russia's Security Council and Putin's closest advisor. But not only has a very close ties with Putin professionally, he's actually a personal friend. And their friendship dates back to 1975, when both of them were part of the KGB, the Russian, you know, intelligence service, and part spy agency, part, you know, secret police, if you will. And they're just the two peas in the pod, you know, or evil twins of, as I describe them in this case, you know, both people being quite evil, because as we know, Putin has almost certainly authorized multiple assassinations of his opponents, you know, poisonings, and this sort of thing. And Patrushev is the same way. He basically, when he was the head of the FSB during the time when Russia was waging war on Chechnya, Patrushev also authorized, you know, certain targeted killings in Chechnya. So that's kind of the broad brushstrokes of these people. And there's many, many more, you know, of them, and very interesting details that I describe in my open source intelligence analysis published in the New York Post on these characters.
We're speaking with Rebecca Koffler. She's a former Defense Intelligence Agency officer and also author of Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. She has a new op-ed in the New York Post detailing the dossiers of Vladimir Putin's inner circle here on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with Rebecca straight ahead. What purpose do all of these cohorts, or for lack of a better term, cabinet members, really serve? I mean, you have one woman dressing seductively and making videos of herself eating strawberries in a suggestive manner. But what's her real job? What does she do? What kind of tangible results for Putin's government does she provide? Or maybe she doesn't. I mean, you know, they have to have reasons for being employed in this manner other than making videos online like that.
Oh, absolutely. The top reason is that they serve in the Russian government. And this particular lady, she's a spokeswoman, and she's a quite effective one. And how do we know that she's effective? We know that because she's a very, very effective propagandist, right? The Russian people fully support Putin. His approval rating is still in the 80s. Any, you know, foreign leader, any Western leader specifically, including Joe Biden himself, can only dream of such ratings. But that also includes Putin's operation in Ukraine. Most Russians support that. So these propagandists are very, very effective at their job. They're highly trained in disinformation. Disinformation is conducted at the state level. It's the Russian statecraft, right? It's part of the whole deception. It's not only targeting their own domestic population, but also world population, especially Western intelligence services. They're trying to confuse us. For example, so what we have right now over in Zaporozhye, you know, the nuclear power plant that both Russia and Ukraine are accusing each other of shelling. Right. And potentially what we have here is the risk of a Chernobyl style nuclear disaster brewing. But the Russians are just planted in multiple publications a story how Ukrainians are getting ready to stage a provocation and stage a nuclear disaster and then blame Russia for it. And that was in the run-up of the visit by the United Nations chief to inspect the facility. And most Western governments are calling on Russia to basically withdraw from that facility because there's a truly big risk right now. But this is exactly what these characters do. You know, another one, we have Margarita Simonyan. She is also very, very close to Putin. She's actually the editor-in-chief of RT, which is Russia's global network of television channels, websites, and social media accounts that broadcast to non-Russian speaking audiences, right? In several languages, including English. And so this is Putin's pet project. And the whole idea behind this project is to present the Kremlin's, you know, worldview, to influence the Western audiences, to favorably predispose them towards Russian policy and strategy. And again, they're very effective. And I myself can tell you, Eben, when I, you know, as you know, I'm a former DIA intelligence officer. And when I traveled for work, let's say in various, you know, parts of the world, especially in Europe, if you check in into the hotel, you get into your room, you turn on the TV, guess which channel pops up first? It was Russia Today. And Putin even renamed it or orchestrated like the whole change. You know, this was created by an executive order. And then eventually, originally it was Russia Today, but then eventually was renamed to RT to conceal their affiliation, right? And so Western audiences look at it and they think it's a legitimate source of news, but it's really not, right?
For a while RT America that people were watching and that American journalists were working for. And I believe the operation is shuttered, but RT internationally is still operating.
Exactly. And so that's how they achieve perception of legitimacy is because they do hire American journalists and some retired figures, for example. Larry King, right, was working for them. And what they also do is they take interviews from U.S. politicians who don't really understand whom they are talking to exactly. They're just thinking they're talking to a legitimate journalist. And then they take out of the context what is said and they put it in a negative anti-American context. And again, I remember one congresswoman, I think from Georgia, I was stunned when she was criticizing the United States. This was years ago, okay? And then you have all these English-speaking people. And so you think that's legitimate, you know, TV station, and it's not. So they're very deceptive. They're very creative, and it works for them because they manage to deceive, you know, perhaps not the Western audiences, but the rest of the world, you know, minus the West, they're not Putin's, you know, they view Putin as a legitimate leader, believe it or not. And he's capitalizing right now on relationships with China, with North Korea, Iran, you know, Taliban. Taliban offered today raisins and medicinal herbs to Russia in exchange for oil. Okay. So these people are very, very creative.
Yeah, and there's also still, even though RT America is no longer operating, I think Radio Sputnik is still heard on a number of American radio stations, which is another state-run Russian organization. And so all this is coming from that inner circle that Putin keeps around him of propagandists and some very brutal state actor, you know, intelligence types as well.
Yes. So, for example, if you take Ramzan Kadyrov, I call him the second generation sycophant, he is actually deploying 4 brigades into Ukraine to fight on behalf of Russia. And these are very brutal characters. OK, one of the things, you know, crazy things that he said is he's waiting for Putin's order to blow Western countries to smithereens. And this is not just rhetoric. I mean, these people, again, are vicious. They are on the hunt for Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, you know, highly likely targeting him for assassination. You know, so there are various practical reasons why Putin keeps these characters around him, not the least of which is some of them are holding his, not necessarily these particular ones, but some of the oligarchs, some of his family members are keeping some of Putin's money. This is why this is very difficult for us to, even though we're targeting his circle with sanctions, Putin himself is shielded by virtue of having his wealth spread out across multiple accounts with other people. And so these oligarchs are making a lot of money. They are, effectively own a lot of state, quasi-state companies, you know, like Rosneft. So it's a whole, it's a mafia. I wanted to say without a crime, but it's actually mafia with a crime. So
Rebecca Koffler, former Defense Intelligence Agency officer and author of yet another very intriguing look at the Russia situation with Ukraine and sharing her expertise in the New York Post. Thank you so much for being with us once again on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on Fox Rundown.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.